Well, I think my time has come to a close with Lunchables.
Oh, okay, honey.
Because I just had an episode that can only be described as apocalyptic in the restroom, and I believe it is a result of me having two Lunchables today. And that's all I want to say. I don't want your judgment. I don't want your advice. I don't want to hear anything on it. Lunchables are delicious, although the nutritious value is questionable.
I didn't know that anybody above the age of, let's say, 10 years old eats Lunchables. And I'm just saying, between the Lunchables and the gay, that's your punishment. Hello, down bitches, and welcome to I Think Not, where we have IBS.
Great.
I am your host, Ellen Marsh, and old poopy McGillicuddy over there is Joey Taranto. Hi, my love.
I'm fine.
All right, you're here. We're here. We're so excited that you're here. Listen, I feel like the exciting news doesn't stop, so we got to get through it really fast. Number one, we've launched our mini-sodes on the Karen Reed and the Diddy trial. Those are going to be in your main feed. They're not going to be on the Patreon feed. They're going to be there. They're going to be short little episodes, updates. We created the series. It's called The Rundown, and that's because Joey was sick of me running down the trial every day, and he was like, let's turn this into a podcast. All right, number two, we have more exciting news. Tell them, Joey.
We are launching Apple subscriptions. So here's the thing. If you're on the Patreon, stay right where you are. You don't have to do a thing. You will still get access to all of our bonus content and access to exclusive watch parties, our Discord, and early access live tickets and merch. However, if you're not on the Patreon and you're interested in our bonus content, you can now hear episodes from our $5 down bitch tier if you sign up for Apple subscriptions. You could do it right on the show's Apple page. You'll get 4 bonus episodes a month, plus our back catalog of those bonus episodes.
That's a lot of episodes.
Exactly. From the down bitch tier. These episodes are the same that are on the Patreon. We just wanted to make sure they're available to people who don't use Patreon. And Apple approached us with this idea, so it worked out. So if all the bonus stuff like movie nights, traders watch parties, and more aren't for you, and you just want more content, sign right up on Apple.
It's super easy, and it's just another way to find all our bonus content. And don't forget, we still have a limited amount of tour tickets available for all of our cities for our live tour in August. Head on over to our website, I had to include that, Joey. I think not pod. Just click see us live and see if it works for your schedule. And we have had a lot of questions as to whether or not we're going to give a virtual option this year. And for those of you wondering, that's a venue thing, and we're trying to organize it from within. So if that does become an option, of course, we will tell the down bitches immediately, if not sooner. I think that's all for the announcements. Yes, my love?
That's it. Are you still listening? Are we still listening? Who knows? Shall we get to the episode?
Let's do it. You all, I love this show. You can find it on Discovery Plus or Max, but Joey found this one and it is a banger. It's just a very well-made show on some very curious cases, and it's interesting because it's called The Curious Case of. Season 1, Episode 4, Funeral Home of Horrors.
And that title will live up to the name, trust me.
This is a story of loss, laughter, and deceit.
So if you're ever dead in Colorado, come to Ferns Nature Funeral Home, where they'll take good care of you.
A green funeral home in central Colorado hides a horrifying secret.
Where's my son?
A search for the owners reveals a pattern of surprising behavior.
Apparently he would go tell jokes on stage.
A loser.
Who breaks into a sleepover and holds them at gunpoint? He exhibits all the characteristics of a psychopath.
They had this face that they were putting onto the world, and it was all
How dare they do this to my big brother?
We had no leads on them. Where are John and Carrie?
They kidnapped my son.
Well, we meet Emily Miller, founder of Colorado's Burial Preserve in Florence, Colorado. She's a funeral director and very excited about wasps. Which is strange, but I guess I could see how she would be interested in women wearing pearls, sipping a vodka stinger at the Ritz, adorned in a Ralph Lauren cardigan at the Protestant church, you know, the Charlotte York type.
And my love, my love, my love.
What?
My love. I love you so much. Mm-hmm. You are good at so many things. Okay, not those wasps. The buzzing, not basic white women.
You talking about wasps, the bugs?
Yeah, are you okay?
They shove their ass in your skin?
Yeah, yeah, those wasps.
Who likes wasps? This woman doesn't love herself. Wasps are menaces. Anyway, we're in Colorado. Did I mention that?
We're in Colorado. And I know one piece of really interesting trivia about Colorado. It's ADHD. Weird things stick to the gray matter. Don't ask questions. Do you know back in the 70s, they wanted to host the Winter Olympics in Denver?
Oh.
And the Olympic Committee was like, you know what sounds like a great place? Denver. And Denver was like, nah.
Really?
They are the only city to turn down an Olympic bid. They are just like, no, we just were tired. Also, cheeseburgers were invented in Colorado.
Imagine Colorado being like, we're good. You know, we've got a lot going on here. And that sounds like a lot of work. We don't want to do that.
We just discovered this cheeseburger thing. We got a lot on our plate. Could you imagine some stoner, like snowboarder being like, dude, I'll have one of those burgers. Also, you know what? Throw some cheese on it. And the other guy's like, Bruce. His name's Bruce. He's like, Bruce. What, man? And he was like, yeah, 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 just try it. And they're like, okay, how do I do that? I don't know, just take a slice of cheese and put it on that burger?
Whoa.
Cheeseburgers, invented in Colorado. Google it. Think about it. I haven't. What?
It's the altitude. Anyway, the Colorado Burial Preserve and Cremation Garden is an 80-acre cemetery where you get a natural interment, which means everything is biodegradable. No embalming. You become part of the earth. It's kind of beautiful and it's giving.
But I know every rock and tree and creature has a life, has a spirit, has a name.
Don't ask me why I made that correlation, but I did.
I will never look at Pocahontas the same. If you know, you know. I think it's just interesting that it is a nature preserve,
yeah,
which is a whole thing. There are nature preserves all over the country, and a cemetery. I just think it's funny when we try to hybrid things, you know, like the labradoodle.
Yeah.
Someone looked at a Labrador and a poodle's like, what if we just combine, let's mix it up, see what happens. Like a nature preserve and a cemetery. Also, side note, the chug, that shouldn't have happened.
What's a chug?
It's a chihuahua and a pug.
I'm cutting this conversation off. Now, this type of burial has gained popularity over the years, and there are companies who are capitalizing on that.
Green burial is a growing market in America. In a recent study, 60% of people under the age of 40 say that this is something they would consider when their time comes.
Enter Return to Nature Funeral Home.
We see a social media post of someone giving a tour of Return to Nature. And this is a green funeral home. And it was opened by John and Carrie Halford. And they're very proud of what they do. And we see John giving this tour. And we learn that he was raised in the funeral business. You and I have been around death recently a lot. It's really interesting how funeral homes are very family, sort of generational businesses. I know the place that my grandmother and my Uncle Bobby were buried, it's like five generations. Don't you find that all of those things are kind of kept in the family?
Yeah, it's a trade, right? I do think that there is a fear of death because it's the unknown. People guess, and listen, whatever your beliefs are, I'm not here to challenge them. I always say, I don't know what happens to us when we die, and I'm okay with that. But there are people who are not okay with that. And so the topic of death, being around death, you know, it's very hard for them. But if you're in a family where this has just been done for generations and it's normalized, it makes sense that you'd be like, oh yeah, I'm okay with this.
I find the whole world of that very fascinating, and I always have. The funeral business, and this is really, you know, important for this episode, but it is centered around grief, but also so much compassion and sensitivity because it's a very unique, delicate job. So I can understand wanting to protect a business, a legacy of a funeral home.
Yeah.
Because it's something very personal. It takes a very special person.
Yes.
To work in the death care industry. More on that later.
Yeah.
Joey, guess what?
What?
Skims is back. All right, I have something I've wanted to talk to you about for a long time. Are you ready?
Oh, you're gonna say that men should be in charge of all businesses?
Joseph.
I'm just kidding.
Push-up bras. Okay, let me tell you, push-up bras. Never wanted them, never liked them. I absolutely hated wearing push-up bras. For the women with the smaller tetons, maybe not so grand, maybe it works out. But for the big teton lady, a push-up bra makes you look like you have four boobies. That's just a fact. But I went ahead and tried the Skims push-up bra, and you all, let me tell you, the ultimate teardrop push-up bra is a life changer. I know that sounds really dramatic, but go with me, it really is. What are your feelings on this, my love?
Well, I will say that I saw your Grand Tetons in said bra, and it lifted your boobs, and you looked like you were in the best mood of your life. I was like, are you Ella Marsh or are you Elle McPherson? I really dated myself with that reference.
Here's the thing. It's the technology. It's absolutely insane. Instead of having a bunch of padding to make it look unnatural and make your boobs all kind of big and puffed out, this bra isn't trying to make you have a four boob. It mimics the shape of full tetons, and it doesn't give you that weird, unnatural lift. You all, Skims is doing it right.
Yeah, baby, you looking like the hottest mama ever. So shop the Skims Ultimate Bra Collection and more at skims.com.
After you place your order, be sure to let them know we sent you.
Select podcast in the survey and be sure to select our show in the drop-down menu that follows.
And take care of your tetons. Skims will help, I promise.
Oh.
We see John and Carrie in this interview, and John is explaining that he was born into this business and she married into this business. And then John says this.
And you've dated people in the business before that,
yes,
too.
Very.
No. Don't leave them out of this.
I don't know what it is I'm drawn to. It.
Yes, is that it?
I love it when people make things awkward for absolutely no reason. I'm like, no, finish your sentence. What was the story? What's the story there? Because now we all want to know.
It's very passive aggressive, but also there is nothing more painful than someone who is blithely aware of how unfunny they are trying to crack jokes, and you're subjected to it and you have to react.
Oh my God. It's like...
Cut that. Now.
Rick could end us. He'd be like, NDA, here you go. Yeah. Have I mentioned we love you, Rick?
So we get a little backstory on John and Carrie. They were both previously married when they met. Then they ended up getting together and opened Return to Nature in 2017. And they said they did this because they believed in their mission. They knew that they could do a good job at it. Like you said, it is a very delicate job. And you are dealing with people who are fresh into their grief.
Mm-hmm.
It reminds me of that episode of Roseanne where Jackie has to take care of the funeral arrangements for her father, and the funeral director is trying to upsell her on a casket.
Before we go on, I just want you to know that I'm feeling very irrational right now. I'm likely to buy anything that you show me. I'm also very likely to take out a gun and blow your head off if I think you're taking advantage of me. So I would play me very carefully.
It's very that. Obviously, I would say most funeral directors are much more kind and empathetic.
Well, I have a favorite funeral director. I'll bet Daisy Egan will tell us. Hold on. Do you know we have a podcast called Shut the Fuck Up, Nick Lachey?
Oh, Jesus.
Daisy Egan, please.
Hold on. Let me get them for you. What are you doing?
I do a podcast. It's called I Think Not with Joey Taranto.
No, never heard of it. Never heard of him. I don't know what you're talking about.
All right, I just have one question and there's only one answer. Who is our favorite funeral director?
Freda! I will have somebody murder me just so that Freda can be my funeral director.
I was like, Daisy and I know a funeral director.
Yeah, like personally.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. Love you. Bye.
Love you. Bye.
For all of you crossover listeners of Shut the Fuck Up, Nick Lachey, you know exactly what that means.
My name is Angelica Stedman, and I live in Pueblo, Colorado. My daughter, Chanel, she was a pretty lively person since she was little. She loved playing outdoors. She built her own little fort. At one time, she came in and a porcupine had occupied her fort. Yeah, we did get the porcupine out. It was more scared of us.
So now we meet Angelica Stedman, who is lounging in a hot tub, and all I can think is, I want this. I want this now. Honey, Angelica is smart because she said, yes, I'll do this interview, but you're going to get a good, good shot of me in this damn hot tub that I spent a pretty penny on. And I was like, honey, money well spent.
Okay. Wow. I didn't know that this was where we parted ways. I don't know if you all understand how much Joey and I share a brain. It baffles us sometimes. But I had no idea that you liked hot tubs.
Love them.
Because Mama Angelica, she's enjoying that hot tub.
Yeah.
And I mean in the biblical sense. It's almost orgasmic. I was like, should I go? Do you want to be by yourself? Honey, there is nothing sexy about a hot tub or having relations in a hot tub. The fungus, the bacteria in my cucunella? Absolutely not. What? Plus the dead skin and people just sitting in a hot tub farting with impunity.
Hey, pipe down. You are not going to ruin this for me.
It's a disease bath. It's jizz water. No, thank you. I don't want to get in your nasty sex pond.
That's what chlorine is for. Listen, she is just relaxing. Nobody said nothing about sex. Maybe she's having a nice glass of a good, good Chardonnay and listening to John Cicada. Let her have this.
Or maybe she's messing up the pH in her vagina and she's going to get a yeast in her keister. No, hot tubs? Absolutely not.
After what this woman's been through, I think she's earned her hot tub, all right?
Well, now that she put it like that, but no, I am not getting in that thing. Not with this vagina. No. Because you know why, Joey?
Why?
What's my vagina? Say it.
Immaculate.
Say it.
Immaculate.
It's immaculate. I'm not messing up the pH balance. No, thank you. You take your bacteria pool and get out of here. Okay.
Well, listen, Mama Angelica is a doll. She is giving warm, warm energy. And I don't just mean from the hot tub. I just mean like she is kind and it's all over her face. And she tells us about her daughter, Chanel.
My daughter, Chanel, was a very beautiful young lady. Chanel passed away November 23rd of 2019. I loved my daughter very much. And I still miss her.
And she's just lovingly talking about her the way all moms do. But she made it a point to say that she loved the outdoors and she loved animals. And we see a lot of old pictures of her. We learned that Chanel passed November 23rd of 2019. We see Mama Angelica kind of naturally, of course, breaking down, talking about how much she missed her daughter and just how seriously she took finding a funeral home. She was really excited when she found Return to Nature. She said she went with them, sat with them. She's planning services. The decedent is her daughter.
Yeah.
She said they were lovely and empathetic and professional. So when she left that meeting, she felt really good. And I get it because it's to these people a sales pitch. I can't stress enough, and I kind of want to hear your thoughts on this. The idea that a funeral director has to be sort of a counselor and guide a grieving family, navigate emotional and logistical challenges that follow death because you need sensitivity. Respect. Basically, you have to be a lovely party planner because they're planning an event. Obviously, yeah. It's a sad one. And usually it's on short notice. Their job is to give a family space to mourn without all the burden of planning. It's a really delicate dance. You're planning someone's farewell to honor someone's life. I imagine it's a really stressful job.
Yeah.
But it's so unique. I mean, when you really think about it, finding someone where you're saying, thank you for taking over so I don't have to worry about times or parking or, you know, how we're going to go from this room to that room. It's a lot.
Yeah, I would say I have a lot of respect for funeral directors because it is so delicate. And like you said, it is a very unique job. You are dealing with people who the worst has happened, you know, whether you're prepared for it or not. It's saying goodbye to someone forever. Obviously, it's unique for a lot of reasons. What stands out to me is you're running a business. This is a business.
Yeah. It's a lucrative business as well, might I add. But they're taking care of a family on what could quite possibly be the worst day of their life.
Yeah.
Maybe, depending. I mean, I imagine for Mama Angelica, it was. And so I stress this because she felt so good sitting with Carrie and John. In her darkest moments, she was thinking to herself, these people are going to take care of me.
We planned a small memorial service. John is the one that spoke at the service. It was very nice the way he had put things together.
I thought that was very strange. I've never heard of that, but maybe nobody could had the wherewithal or couldn't get through it or something. Did you think that was weird?
No, because I don't know the population of this town. I don't know, like, what their religious beliefs are. He just could have gotten up there and, you know, said something inspirational or loving.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess you're right. Yeah.
And basically, Mama Angelica says, overall, they did a great job. The service was lovely.
Joey, we have a new sponsor, and you're going to love this one.
Who?
Packagen. This podcast is sponsored by Packagen, but did you know that over 20% of people suffer from cat allergies?
I did not, but I know now.
So Packagen has this cat allergen neutralizing spray, and it's going to target all of the allergens around your home that trigger your cat allergies.
Do you know cats groom themselves?
I did.
But did you know that their saliva is the main source of the allergens that trigger your cat allergies? So grooming means your clean cat is now covered in allergens and it spreads all over your house. That's why Packagen's neutralizing spray comes in so clutch.
So they use this patent-pending whisker block protein. It's a lot of science stuff, but basically it binds to the allergens and then it neutralizes them. I have a certain male visitor at my home sometimes, and he was allergic to Sia M. Boyance. In comes Packagen. All of a sudden he went to bed and was like, I'm not sniffling.
They also offer a 30-day money-back guarantee, so you can try their cat allergen neutralizing spray risk-free. We love that.
And there's no harsh chemicals, no side effects. All you have to do is spray every couple days just to keep those allergens at bay, and voila!
We all know that your pets aren't just pets. They're family.
So get the relief you need with Packagen.
Head to packagen.com/THNK for 15% off your order and an exclusive gift.
That's PACAGEN.com/THNK for 15% off your order and an exclusive gift.
One last time, that's packagen.com/THNK for 15% off and an exclusive gift auto-applied at checkout.
Thanks, Packagen, for making me not kick out my gentleman friend.
We meet another woman named Heather DeWolf, and she is here to talk about her oldest son, Zach, who she described as a rebel. And I love when people get described as a rebel.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know this, but I am also a rebel.
Huh. Is it because you went blonde?
Yes. And also, sometimes I dress in all black and I sing Cool Rider from Grease 2 in my living room.
That sounds rebellious. You're practically James fucking Dean, my love.
Listen, if he's cool enough, he can burn me through and through. Whoa. I'm a pink lady now. In all seriousness, she just was like, Zach was a rebel with a big heart.
Yeah. And so we see her in the kitchen with her two other sons looking through photo albums. And she explains to us that her son, Zach, died in 2020. And she was given the name of Return to Nature from a family member. And one of the things that really was very appealing to this particular funeral home was that included in the service package was the opportunity to plant a tree in the decedent's name in Pikes Peak National Forest. And she said, I just felt that was a sign that sealed the deal for her, because that's something that her and her son did together. They had planted trees. So she was looking for a cremation service, and the added bonus of the tree just felt like a sign.
And then Mama Heather goes on to say that she did hire Return to Nature to cremate her son, Zach. And when she got off the phone with them, she was crying because she felt so happy she found them. They were so caring and she felt safe. And listen, when you are dealing with the death of a child, which I cannot even imagine what that is like for a mother, anytime where somebody can take something off your plate,
yes,
you're going to go for it.
Absolutely.
And she felt safe doing that with Return to Nature. And now we meet another woman named Christina Page in Westminster, Colorado, who talks about her son, David Jackson Page.
And she's wearing this sweet t-shirt of a picture of him. It's sort of like a painted picture.
And I love this picture of him. He looks so carefree and so much at peace in this picture.
And then she grabs this small vial that's hanging on a cord around her neck. And she said, and this is also David. She filled this little vial with his cremated remains to keep him close to her heart.
Yeah, you know, when I saw her t-shirt, with the picture of her son on it, it reminded me of being in high school and my friend Karita. In my junior year, I had a family member, my mother's cousin, who we lost, and I was telling her about it. And Karita says, oh, are you going to get a t-shirt with her picture on it? And I said, no, I wasn't planning on doing that. And she goes, why not? And I said, I mean, I've never really heard of that. And she goes, you're clearly not black. And she was a black woman.
She doesn't see color. So I get it. Those people exist.
Mama Christina had David cremated just before his funeral service, and she said, I was just so grateful that my son was at peace. And I decided at that point that I was going to spend a lot of time traveling all over the country spreading his ashes. I think that's beautiful.
Oh my gosh. I mean, she literally went from Maine to Washington.
Yeah.
Like, she went everywhere spreading his ashes. She said, I would find the most beautiful place and let him be there. You know, he would be the first to see the sunrise over here. And to see, it was a beautiful sentiment.
I will tell you, there are so many incredible ways to honor a loved one who has passed. And mm-hmm. when she said this, on top of like having ashes in a necklace, and which is not uncommon, mm-hmm. you know, you nowadays you can get ashes turned into all kinds of jewelry. I think it's beautiful.
You can get ashes tattooed.
Wow.
They can use it in the tattoo ink. You can get a memorialized tattoo.
Listen, I think whatever you need to feel peace or to feel like they're still with you, I think it's all acceptable.
I totally agree.
So the Halfords actually had two return to nature locations, and both of them were very successful. However,
I think what you'll find with a lot of our families is we all felt that. We felt that there was something missing. We didn't know it was our loved ones missing, but something was.
In spring of 2023, there was concern over indications that something was off at their Penrose location.
So Emily Miller, the funeral director who was talking about the bug wasps.
Do you feel better now?
She comes back and she said that over time, that location began to look really run down. There were weeds growing in the parking lot. There was trash. It just didn't look good. And this sweet soul, down bitch Emily, she didn't want to come across rude. So she politely emailed John. I guess they're old friends or something. We don't get their history. And just basically said, hey, long time no talk, but I passed by and I saw that your weeds are really overgrown. I'm sure you're busy. Do you want me to come weed your parking lot? And she said, I just need to source some equipment and we'll be all set. What a nice person.
Well, I mean,
could you imagine? Just, they clearly don't know each other that well. She has his email address. Hey, let me come spend a day helping you.
I mean, she wasn't exactly like that landscaper who just goes and mows people's lawns for free on TikTok.
I love him.
Yeah, no, she was like, look, I'll come and mow your lawn, and by lawn, I mean the parking lot, if you let me store some equipment in the back of your funeral home. So there was, you know, it was a little tit for tat. But John emailed her and was like, yeah, thanks for this email. As of April 1st, we will have a subletter in there. Thanks for the offer. Can't help you with your equipment. Good luck with your project. And she was like, okay, well, fuck my drag.
I know, right? Thanks. The weeds stay for the subletter. Now we meet a very serious reporter by the name of Tyler Cunnington, and he's a journalist locally in Colorado Springs. So he takes us back to the night of October 3rd, 2023. So he explains that a bunch of neighbors had called authorities saying, we know this is a funeral home, but it's actually starting to smell really, really bad. And there was a sign that said, we do taxidermy here. And they're like, no. We know what goes on there, but I'm telling you, something isn't right. And we don't know how long people had sort of been brushing this off, but at some point it became very overpowering. So the police went to the state, and from there, the state called in an agency called the Department of Regulatory Agencies, or it's more commonly known as DORA, and they oversee a lot of different entities, but specifically the funeral home industry. And so DORA got their hands on this complaint for the Return to Nature funeral home. So DORA is the one that reached out to John and Carrie directly. And they're like, hey, are you good? I think we need to swing on by.
Yeah. And they weren't asking. They were telling them. They said, this is DORA, not to be confused with the Explorer. And we have a search warrant for Return to Nature. And we need you to come and meet us tomorrow on October 4th to let us in so we can inspect.
So DORA investigators shows up the next day on Wednesday, October 4th. But Johnny doesn't meet them to let them in and show them around. So they said, okay, well, We need to get a warrant.
And Dora does not play, because immediately they issued a warrant that very night.
Yeah, they went to the judge and they were like, Hola, soy Dora. Necesito warrant. Also, do you know where my dad is?
Wow, this took a turn. Honey, not now, okay?
Dora's a menace.
She is.
That backpack should not be in the hands of a toddler.
So the minute that Dora enters the funeral home, they saw something absolutely horrifying, and I can't believe I'm about to say this. They found stacks of decomposing bodies everywhere. All of the things I thought that they might say, this was not one of them.
Yeah. They go into a lot of detail, and you know, Joey and I want to be very sensitive to all the victims of this atrocity. However, I also want us to be able to communicate how despicable and deplorable this situation was. But they had walked in and there was a brown, watery substance that went about shin deep. And they refer to it in a lot of different ways, but I will call on you to use your imagination. But the liquid was bodily fluids, everything that you would attribute to a decomposing body. This is immediately declared a biohazard. They have to regroup, put on hazmat suits, and we see footage of this. There's tents, biohazard dumpsters, people in suits and masks, and something it would probably be hard to even imagine. There were so many flies that the buzz was making an audible noise, and they couldn't even describe the smell. They just said it was unmistakable. Even if you have not smelled what a decomposing body would smell like, it's 10 times worse than anything you can imagine.
Yeah.
Needless to say, they had no idea what they were walking into.
None. This funeral home was contaminated in the most vile ways. It was really hard to hear. I just can't imagine. So the discovery was made on a Wednesday. By Friday, there is a press conference held to discuss the investigation. And basically they say, we've made no arrests. We don't even want to bother with that right now. Our focus is on the investigation and the victims. And of course, someone asks, hey, have you guys had a chat with the owners? And yes, we have. Cool. Have they been cooperative? So far, yes. We're going to circle back to that later on. This is not the entire truth.
Joey, guess who's back?
Who?
Hungry Root. Now, you all know I am a wizard in the kitchen.
Who said that?
Well, with Hungry Root, I feel like I am because I don't like meal prepping. I don't like meal planning. I don't like cooking. I don't like dealing with everyone's nutritional preferences. I don't like it. That's why I love Hungry Root, because it provides me high quality, nutritious food and the easiest recipes to follow. Even I can do it. That should be their tagline.
Listen, Hungry Root is like having your own personal nutritionist, and they make planning meals and cooking super simple and stress-free. All you have to do is tell them about your specific goals and your preferences, and they will fill your cart with personalized recommendations that get smarter as they learn more about what you liked or didn't love. For me, don't you put asparagus in the same room as me, or we gonna fight.
And you're never gonna find high fructose corn syrup, artificial sweeteners, or preservatives in any Hungry Root food. And if you're like me, and the kitchen just isn't your favorite place to be, most of these recipes can be made in like 5 minutes. You all, if I can do it, you can do it.
I love Hungry Root. So take advantage of this exclusive offer.
For a limited time, get 40% off your first box, plus get a free item in every box for life.
Go to hungryroot.com/ithinknot and use code ithinknot.
That's hungryroot.com/ithinknot, code ithinknot, to get 40% off your first box and a free item of your choice for life.
hungryroot.com/ithinknot, code ithinknot.
Hungry Root, for nice people like me. So our bestie Beth is back, describing how vital funeral homes are, which is sort of what we talked about earlier. But I gotta say, while she is talking, the reenactment actors who are meant to be Carrie and John, who are putting makeup on what we are made to believe was a person in a coffin, and this actress is doing it like she has never applied blush before. It looks like she's painting a vase in one of those pottery places where you glaze your own bowl. And it's the weirdest thing. It's as if the director was like directing her in real time. Now gently glide the brush down his cheek. I was like, this is uncomfortable. And also, ma'am, what does your makeup look like on a day-to-day basis? That is not a natural way to put on someone's blush.
She's like, Carl. Yeah, the director, Carl. Listen, I'm only used to working with cream blushes. I don't know how to operate a powder blush. Oh, you're going to direct me on how to apply powder blush? Oh, you were on RuPaul's Drag Race? Okay, great. Can you help me? It's just the most awkward thing in the world.
It's so awkward. I was like, just leave Beth to talk. Give the reenactment actors a break. I don't need to see you putting blush on a guy who's clearly breathing in a coffin. It's not working for me. Go to Crafty and we'll call you later.
Now, local news reporter Tyler comes back to tell us a couple things.
I think there's four or five stipulations of things you have to do with a dead body after you receive it. You have to embalm them, put them into refrigeration, give it to science, or cremate it. Essentially, you have to do one of those handful of things within, I think, 24 or 48 hours.
Thank you, Tyler.
Now, this is a green funeral home, which means that embalming is not something they do. Mostly they cremate people, but they do not do that in-house. So when they receive a body, they would temperature regulate them and then send them out to a crematorium. So what we learn is that refrigeration for the Return to Nature funeral home was a large part of their business. But investigators realized very quickly that their equipment had major, major issues.
Incidentally, Joey, I didn't know this. I had to look it up. Do you know when a body starts to decompose? I'm not talking about this to be gross. It's purely science because I love science. But I actually didn't know the answer to this. Do you?
No.
It starts right away.
Wow.
Your internal organs start to decompose and can fully be decomposed within 72 hours.
Wow.
I say that because
there's a sense of urgency.
Yes, exactly. So they're looking at some really big problems. Well, enter down bitch mortician by the name of Blanca Everhart. She's been a mortician for 20 years and she works for the state of Colorado. Now, the difference between a mortician and a funeral director, just for our brains, a mortician actually prepares the body for viewing or cremation. And that includes everything from embalming, getting them dressed, makeup, all of the technical aspects that go into preparing a body after death. And the funeral director is the one who, you know, coordinates with the family, arranges the services, does more of the administration tasks. And as we talked about earlier, the counseling aspect of it all. So they're more with the family and the emotional side, and the mortician is more of the scientific side. But Blanca, she is an expert.
Yeah, Blanca works for the state of Colorado in their emergency preparedness and response department. She basically says that John's refrigerators were not operating. They were literally just shells of a cooler. None of them operated. So inside, John, and this was very hard for me to hear. There's a lot that was hard to hear on this episode. John had just stacked the deceased they received. And inside, they found at least 115 bodies.
Yeah.
And now they have to identify all of them.
When you say cooler, I'm thinking of, you know, a Yeti that you bring to the lake. If you've ever worked in a restaurant, we're talking about the big walk-in refrigerators, the big walk-in freezers. But imagine walking into that freezer and it's just room temperature. And he had three of them. And I'm sure they were not cheap, but he had three inoperable walk-in refrigerators. So these were big. So just think of that visual is nauseating. So everyone in the death care industry in this area is hearing about this, and everyone has the same question. Why are these people holding on to these bodies? Honestly, could you imagine the people that work for the state that had the heartbreaking, I don't even know the word. I mean, I want to say like disgusting.
It was traumatic.
So we get the confirmation that there are at least 115 bodies, and the identification process was going to be first and foremost. So they go through the identification process, and one by one, people were starting to get notified.
I would imagine that the state of that funeral home, there was nothing easy about having to identify these people. I would have nightmares. And my mind goes to, okay, well, these investigators walked in. They saw the scene. They knew what it was. But these families have to imagine it. Sometimes that's even worse, you know?
Oh, yeah. Christina Page comes back, who was David Jackson's mom, the one with the T-shirt. And she recalls that she had heard about this funeral home, just kind of like a blip, you know, when the news is on and you just hear about it. And she thought to herself, oh, that's really sad. But thank goodness, you know, David, he passed 4 years ago, so he's not involved in this terrible tragedy. Fast forward to October 24th, and poor grieving Christina gets a call that indeed her son was one of the victims, and he was not cared for the way that she thought, and he was disregarded with the other over 100 victims. And she just said it felt like a punch in the gut. And we all know that feeling. The wind is taken out of you. You don't even have words.
Yeah.
You can't even comprehend. To your point, imagine, what are you talking about? My son wasn't cream. What are you talking about? He was in a refrigerator. I can't imagine this woman's grief. I can't even imagine how these moms made it through this interview.
You know, when she told us the details of what the coroner relayed had been done to her son, I was mortified and devastated for her. We're not going to repeat it. I mean, if you want to go and watch this episode, they go into even more detail. It's just so inhumane and really unthinkable, because at the end of the day, the thought that keeps coming across my mind is only an absolute monster could do something like this.
I feel like this can't be overstated, especially when they trusted these people.
Yeah.
The understanding that a family is going through so much and then saying, like what you said at the beginning of the episode, you're going to take this burden off of me? Thank you so much.
Yeah.
To be deceived in such a way at their lowest point as they are burying their children, which already is the most unnatural thing you can think of.
So when I found out that my son had been identified in the building, I realized that the person that I have been carrying for 4 years isn't my child. This is not my son, David. This could be somebody else's child. I will never know who I've been carrying.
You cannot conduct a DNA test on ashes.
It gets worse, you all.
Yeah.
In their investigation and searching the premises, they found a concrete mix and a machine that you would use to mix concrete to make it concrete. Chances are they probably ground that up, put it in an urn or a bag, and gave it to the family. Can you fucking imagine?
They specifically said this is alleged because they don't have solid proof that it was being done, but they found the concrete, they found the grinder, so they could just deduce that that's what was happening.
When I read the FBI report, which I'll get to at the end of the episode, they found hundreds of pounds of concrete. I was like, bro won't even weed his parking lot.
Yep.
What is he doing? Laying down new asphalt outside? No.
It's like my therapist says, you can't understand why someone would do something so horrible because your mind doesn't think like that.
Well, you have done some horrible things in some unnamed gay bars all across this country, but I guess we'll save that for Swamp Talk.
Yeah, I've done horrible things in gay bars and you've done horrible things to your bangs. So, I love you. What occurs to me is that I think in small, non-hurtful ways, you and I, including people who are listening right now, have done things that maybe in the moment we didn't stop to think about because we were like, just doing it. You're just in like, go,
sure.
Maybe autopilot. Maybe later on you're like, that was a weird thing to do. That was strange. And the only thing I can think is that John and Carrie went to the extreme. And they, don't get me wrong, they sound like absolute sociopaths. It didn't occur to them at any moment, wow, this is actually really fucked up. They weren't thinking of these people in terms of human beings. You know what I mean?
No, I don't. We're not talking about the time that I plucked my eyebrows into a paper thin hairline on my face.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That was a bad decision. This is reprehensible.
Yeah.
We're going to learn this goes back a couple years. They had many times to be like, do you think we should give these people their ashes rather than cement? The cement thing feels a little over the top. So no, I can't qualify that in my brain. I think they're absolute psychopaths.
Yeah, I'm not justifying it. There is no justification for this. What I mean is that I wonder,
how it started.
Well, yes.
If it was like, oh, just put that there and we're going to do this and one body turned to 10, turned to 20, and then it snowballed.
Yes.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. I just mean like if somebody laid it all out in front of you and you can't deny, oh, God, that is, all of this is really fucked up. All of this is really fucking dark. And I'm sure there's a ton of storytelling and basically like numbness around it. You know what I mean? That maybe it would occur. I guess, listen, I'm not saying that it's right. I think I'm just trying to understand, how do you let it get to this point?
I mean, we've all told little lies. I have definitely taken HelloFresh and Hungry Root meals and pretended I cooked them. I really have done that. I don't just say that in the ads. It's a little different. And I'm never going to come clean about that. So the day that Lola listens to this podcast, she's going to be like, hey, whatever.
Yeah, I think I'm just trying to wrap my head around something no normal person can wrap their head around.
Yeah. Joey, do you want a teenager?
No, I'm solid. Thanks, though.
You all, having a teenager is a lot of things, but these teenagers with their smartphones? No, pass. Hard pass. Take me back to the 90s now. But I guess if I can't go back to the 90s, at least Gab Mobile is here.
Here's something I didn't know. I learned today. Teens spend an average of 9 hours a day on screens outside of school. And that statistic is really contributing to the youth mental health crisis that's happening all over the news. And we know that social media is driving it.
I have said it before. There's just no way around giving a kid a phone nowadays. So Gab Mobile should make every parent breathe a sigh of relief because they have no social media or internet apps. And the device kind of grows with your child. So for example, a younger kid, they have a watch with GPS tracking on it and safe zones. Little older kids, maybe tweens, they have more of a starter phone with some monitored messaging and video calling. And then as they get to be teenagers, you can get a Gab phone that has parent-managed apps and a really good camera. So they still have the devices and will look cool at school, but they're not going to have all of that scary stuff that comes with basically holding the internet in the palm of your hand.
Exactly. With Gab, you get to keep your kids socially connected safely. I'm sure I have a teenager out there somewhere.
Ooh, did I miss a story?
Yeah, but that's for another podcast. And I hope that they have a Gab phone. And listen, protecting your kids has never been easier.
For the best deals, sign up to Gab today. No contract required at gab.com/think.
That's Gab, GABB.com/think.
Gab.com/think. Terms and conditions apply. Can I have a retroactive Gab phone? I don't want all this information.
I think the ship done sailed.
Now we're back with Mama Angelica. She's not in a hot tub, thank fucking God. Mama Angelica, she went to DBU and majored in investigations and minored in I will find this shit out myself.
The remains that I received, I don't know what I have. Is it my daughter or is it cement? I have no idea. So I took a little bit of the ashes and I put it in a glass jar and added some water to it.
And after some time, it solidified. So Mama Angelica received cement instead of her daughter's ashes. That is appalling.
How do you even process that? How do you process that in real time? And then, of course, the other question that Mama Angelica poses is, where is my daughter?
Oh my God. When she said that through tears, she barely had breath to say it because where the fuck is her daughter?
And now Mama Heather DeWolf, she had the same issue. She pulled out what they believed to be her son Zach's ashes. They were sort of moving the bag around, just trying to get a good look at it. And that's when she noticed something emerged. It was metal discs. Heather went on to say that her son had no medical equipment in his body, no hardware. I have a plate over my fourth metatarsal from where I broke it in Kinky Boots. I have a plate right. And a screw. It would show up.
So when you are cremated, I'm going to take that plate and I'm going to engrave it with, he lived as a cunt and he died as a cunt. Merch available next year.
You're a terrible person. But the whole point is there was no reason for that to be there. She says, I do not believe that these are my son Zach's ashes. I believe that they are ashes belonging to someone else. Who that is, I have no idea. At this point, the investigation shifts their focus to the owners of Return to Nature, John and Carrie Helford.
Because where the fuck are they? Where are they? And so the identification process is continuing, and the news comes out that now there are 189 bodies that have been found. Still no John and Carrie. They have not been found. Everyone is wondering, are they going to face criminal charges? What is being done to find them? What is being done to understand and uncover these heinous crimes? But then Bestie Beth was like, you all, this is an open investigation. We can't tell the public what's going on. We can't give out too much information.
When John failed to meet Dora and the Fremont County coroner at Return to Nature, John and Carrie Halford packed up the family and they left everything. The landlord said you could tell they left in a hurry, food on the table, just packed up and left. John turned off their cell phones, I guess, for location purposes.
So when that sheriff held that press conference and said, yeah, they're being cooperative, that was not the truth. Mortician Blanca Eberhardt is back, the one who works for Colorado's Emergency Preparedness and Response Department. She and her team had been posting on social media, trying to get any hints as to where John and Carrie could be. And I was like, you're a mortician. I love that you're like, I'm also a detective. I'm not playing around.
She's a down bitch.
Yeah.
She's like, I'm going to do it. Someone's going to do it. Have you seen these TikTok detectives? They do not play around.
No.
They're smarter than half of the people out there.
Yeah. Through this, she and her team learn that John is trying his hand at, wait for it, stand-up comedy.
Absolutely not.
It's so ridiculous that even some of the families of the victims were laughing as they told this story.
As if this show isn't hard enough, we have to listen to this guy's attempt at stand-up comedy. Well, down bitches, if we have to listen to it, so do you. Roll the tape, Rick.
Started the day with a PSS. Post-shower A post-shower is like when you're in the shower, you're still wet, and you can never get the right amount of dry.
So let me get this straight. By day, you're doing one of the most deplorable, unspeakable, unthinkable thing. You're desecrating human beings. And at night, you're moonlighting down at the TJ O'Flannery's on wig night, telling some jokes. This is where you say this is actually a sociopath.
Agreed.
This is somebody who does not know or care about the weight of their actions. Also, don't do comedy if you're not fucking funny, John.
And he is not funny. I have met dog shit on the sidewalk with a better sense of humor. Don't think too hard on it. So really, what they know about John is that his family has been in the funeral business a long time and that he graduated mortuary school in 2010. Everything else, kind of muddy. But this is what we know. In 2006, he went into politics, where he ran for Muskogee City Council in Oklahoma. But that all came to a screeching halt when John and his friend decided to play some kind of sick prank on a bunch of women having a sleepover by breaking into the home wearing ski masks and pointing AK-47s at their head. That is a real story.
Oh, what? That is hilarious. What a guy. What a character. This guy, John. Look at this guy breaking in with AK-47s and pointing at people.
What the
that
fuck?
That is so... Oh, man. Oh, it's about as funny as anyway.
Cut that.
I just said that so you would say, cut that.
Yeah, I mean, John goes on to tell police, oh, it was just a joke. I mean, it was just supposed to be a joke. And it's like, you don't know how joking works. We both should be laughing.
Just a joke. Lighten up. Come on, where's your sense of humor?
Making several women who are just trying to watch reruns of Sex and the City and toast marshmallows fear for their lives in the middle of the night. No, that's fucking hysterical, you asshole. Well, anyway, John pled guilty to a misdemeanor and said, yeah, that probably wasn't the best idea. He had to do community service, and obviously, he lost his bid for election. Good riddance.
Well, that's right around the time that John met Carrie, and they moved to Colorado together. Now, these two were on social media trying to paint the picture of this perfectly silly, wacky, silly goose couple in their ugly sweater. They would post cringe videos.
So, my wife is leaving me and trying to look hot for another guy.
That is not what I said.
What did you say?
I fixed my hair today. That's literally the same thing.
Hilarious. It's all in the delivery, John, but you know that. You're a stand-up comedian. They also traveled a lot, and they documented it on social media, their lifestyle, expensive dinners at fancy restaurants. They had a lot of cosmetic surgery. There were just a lot of selfies of this happy married couple living life, traveling, living a life of luxury all over their social media. Well, it's all fun and games until the mistress shows up.
Oh, yeah. John had a mistress who is here. Her face and voice are blurred out, and she said she had an affair with John for a year and a half. Now, that is confusing for me because as this story unfolds, we find out that they mostly talked. More of an emotional affair.
Yeah, when we got to the end of the story, I was like, wait, where did the year and a half come from? So I think it was like an emotional kind of thing, yeah.
She says, I believe I'm lucky to be alive because I truly believe he is a dangerous man. But I will say, there's nothing in her story that indicates that he was violent with her or posed a threat to her. I don't know if she's basing that on the investigation. Let me just go on with the story. I'll let you be the judge. Essentially, this woman, whose name we don't get, had done research on natural burials after her father passed, and that's how she discovered return to nature. She met with John, and immediately, he began messaging her.
Saying things like, I was thinking about you, I want to talk to you, I want to get to know you, I want to know everything about you. Saying things like, you speak to my soul. And she says he would use any excuse to see her. He'd be like, you're thirsty? Let me bring you a bottle of Poland Spring.
Literally.
And through these conversations, the mistress learned about John and his operation.
John told me that he was the one that performed the bulk of everything behind the scenes. And that for him, it was about genuinely caring for humanity.
And she goes on to say that John disclosed to her about the refrigerator units, that the compressors were always breaking. And this one time a compressor went out and he had to take all of the bodies out of the refrigerator and lay them around the funeral home while he tried to fix the unit. He sent her photos of the dead bodies covered, thank the baby Jesus, but they were spread all around the funeral home. And she says that he was really good at fixing things. And he always said it was cheaper to fix it on his own than to hire someone. Right. I beg to differ.
Apparently, these refrigerator issues had been going on for a very long time, and he never actually bothered to properly fix them. Most likely because he didn't want to spend the money.
Joey, guess who's back?
Who?
Miracle Maid. And guess what? The weather is getting warmer, so your bedroom temperature is about to go up a little bit.
Baby, it is hot as Hades in my house, and I'm not trying to sleep in my own sweat all night. That is why I only sleep in Miracle Maid's temperature-regulating sheets. I've said this before, I'll say it again. These sheets are inspired by NASA. If they're good enough for NASA, it's good enough for me.
I understand all of that temperature-regulating because it definitely has a huge impact on your sleep quality, but I'm just really stuck on the bacteria. Your sheets are nasty. Miracle Maid offers a line of self-cleaning antibacterial bedding. Antibacterial bedding! Also, your bedding is disgusting.
But you know what? If you want to sleep in luxurious sheets, if you want comfort and quality, Miracle Maid has got you. And without the high price tag of other luxury brands. It's like sleeping in a five-star hotel bed. I'm not kidding.
Also, please stop sleeping in the bacteria. Did we mention the bacteria?
So upgrade your sleep as the weather heats up.
Go to trymiracle.com/thinknot to try Miracle Maid sheets today.
And whether you're buying them for yourself or as a gift for a loved one, if you order today, you can save over 40%.
And if you use our promo code ThinkNot at checkout, you'll receive a free 3-piece towel set and save an extra 20%.
Miracle is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So if you aren't 100% satisfied, you'll get a full refund.
Upgrade your sleep with Miracle Maid.
Go to trymiracle.com/thinknot and use the code ThinkNot to claim your free 3-piece towel set and save over 40%.
Again, that's trymiracle.com/thinknot to treat yourself.
Thank you, Miracle Maid, for sponsoring this episode and keeping me from looking like I took a deep dive into a pool when I wake up in the morning. Think about it. I haven't. Now, at this point, the mistress implies that they had just been talking and getting to know each other. But once John mentioned leaving Carrie, ending his marriage, he began making his intentions a lot more clear, saying things like, "I think about kissing you all the time." And this woman says, "Look, I want you to understand my frame of mind at the time. I was engulfed by grief. I was grieving my father. I was vulnerable. John love bombed me. And also, he made me feel special."
Yeah.
So it's at that point they started hanging out at her house. And she says they talked about frequencies and energy and vibrations, which for her was probably about spirituality. For John, frequencies, energies, and vibrations meant he wanted to frequently put energy into vibrating her backside. Okay.
That's what narcissists do. They take on the characteristics
yes.
of that person. For lack of a better word, the mistress was crunchy, believed in a no-waste lifestyle.
Oh, you mean like granola?
Yeah, exactly. Incidentally, I also believe in a no-waste lifestyle. That's why I got divorced. Anyway, so I think that he wasn't like that. She was energy and spiritual and the moon and the stars and the this and the that. And he was just cosplaying to get inside her clam wallet.
You know what's so funny is that when I think back, someone mentioned this and I don't remember who it was. More often than not, when we go through like a traumatic breakup, we look at that person and, you know, we're sad about them or we miss them terribly. Most of the time, the things that made them special were a reflection of the love you gave, not actually who they were.
Mm-hmm. That's what narcissists do, though. It's a mirror. You actually fall in love with yourself because they are emulating you
yeah.
and your energy right back to you. They're really good at that.
So it all kind of happened at once. He came over. We began to kiss. And it led to more. And we got carried away.
Essentially, they had sex.
Carried away.
Oh, God.
Get it?
Oh, God. After all of that, all the love bombing, the I think about kissing you all day, I'm leaving Carrie, John ghosted her because he got what he wanted and he took off. When I tell you, this man literally disappeared.
Talk about the long game. One day, one of the mistress's friends calls and was like, "Hey, you know that guy who came over and you were talking about vibrations and then you made out and then he never talked to you again? Didn't he run a funeral home? What was the name of that funeral home?" The mistress said it was called Return to Nature. And the friend was like, "Yeah, that's what I thought. They're under investigation with the FBI. This guy is a psychopath."
Yeah, he is a psychopath. But also, what's Carrie's role in all of this? She handled the paperwork. She met with clients in person. She was certainly complicit. So Carrie actually sat in the car while John brought wheelbarrows filled with the deceased into the funeral home to dispose of. It's a very clear indicator of the type of people we're dealing with, basically soulless monsters.
So here's the big question. How did they get away with this for so long? Well, Colorado is known for its lenient marijuana laws, and that's not all. So down bitch Blanca is back, the mortician. The hits keep on coming, you all. I don't know how much more of this I can take. We learned that in the state of Colorado, funeral directors and embalmers don't need a license.
Nope.
You can just stroll on up and be like, "Hey, I've been working at Walgreens for 10 years, but I think I'd like to give embalming a try." Really, there's just no regulations. She says that Colorado is the laughingstock of the industry. It's just whoever wants to embalm, go for it. We don't care. And she's mortified by this, don't get me wrong, but she says there's a joke within the industry that if you can't pass your boards, move to Colorado. If you lose your license in another state, it's fine. Move to Colorado. Colorado, you're not looking great. You can go sit in the corner with Florida and Texas for all I care. What the fuck are you guys doing over there? Your red rocks are beautiful, but your laws kind of stink.
Literally, that means anyone can be a funeral director or an embalmer. Literally anyone. Now we hit the first week of November of 2023, and local journalist Tyler wakes up to a notification that says John and Carrie Halford have been arrested. The FBI located them out of state at John's father's home in Oklahoma, and then they were held in prison in Wagner, Oklahoma. They were charged with money laundering, forgery, and theft. And on top of that, 190 counts of abuse of a corpse for every single body found in Return to Nature. But that's only the victims that they have found.
Exactly. Because remember Sweet Mama Heather that found the metal in the ashes? She's not listed on those charges because her son Zach was never identified. So that number of people they abused, it's way higher than 190. Mama Heather considers her son Zach missing. His remains, at least, are missing. Where is he?
Yeah.
In addition to Mama Heather, Mama Angelica's daughter Chanel, she also wasn't identified.
Yeah. So in January of 2024, the Halfords make bail. And the next month, they're in a pretrial hearing. It's outside of that hearing that both Heather DeWolf and Christina Page confronted John on camera on the street. Just give it a listen.
What did you do with my son? What did you do with my son? Where is he?
When our mother chased John Halford down the street, demanding to know what he had done with Zach, I am beyond impressed at her restraint. Because if I had been in that situation, I would have jumped on him and I would have torn him apart.
Now, we talked before we recorded because I vividly remember that viral video. Where is my son? Where is my son? And I was saying, oh my gosh, I can't believe that's the same lady. But you somehow didn't see that video, right?
No, in January of 2024, I was dealing with my own mental illness. So sadly, I missed that. But I will tell you, the grief in that woman's voice is arresting. And like, when will she ever get the opportunity to confront him? You know, so I was like, good on you.
I do not blame her one bit. She should have followed him all the way home. Speaking of home, they were out. How the fuck they got bonded out is beyond me. They should have set that bond for $1 billion. And so since they were out on bail, they were in the town they lived in, keeping a low profile. And apparently they were earning money by delivering food, you know, DoorDash or Uber Eats or something. And Mama Christina said exactly what I was thinking. Could you imagine going on DoorDash, ordering your Chipotle, and those fucking monsters show up at your door to bring you your carnitas bowl? That sounds unreal. They were all in this community, and there's 200 of them. The chances of them getting Grubhub and them delivering it? It is very possible.
Well, there was 200 of them that they knew of. Imagine the families that suspected. To be quite honest, I'm shocked they weren't publicly assaulted. I'm shocked that there wasn't a case for that. It's horrific. Well, we fast forward to July of 2024. The state of Colorado offers the Halfords a deal, basically saying plead guilty to 190 counts of abuse of a corpse in exchange for a 20-year sentence for John and a 15-year sentence for Carrie. And the families of the victims were outraged by this. Mm-hmm. Because Mama Heather DeWolf says, I promise you that if the jury were to hear statements from all of us describing the pain and anguish these people have caused, they would receive way more time than 20 years and 50 years, respectively. And I absolutely agree.
I don't think that's fair to those victims. And Mama Christina makes a great point. She says, if you add up all the victims and just take the time that they were uncared for and rotting in their not even resting place, in that fucking refrigerator, and you added all that time up, it's way more than fucking 20 years.
Yeah.
It just doesn't seem like a fair sentence to them. I completely agree. 200?
That they know of.
Right, because the charge is abuse of a corpse. It's more than abuse. It's almost like re-traumatizing. It's almost like a death again.
Yeah.
It's so hurtful, and I do not blame them for being mad at all. Now we learn that John had told his mistress that he was working on a water cremation device that would cremate a body by not burning it. Some people are speculating maybe he was working on this device and he had kind of a backlog of bodies. I was like, that sounds like a really nice hypothesis, but you can't backlog 200 bodies. Absolutely not. These are opportunists who were collecting money for a service that they did not provide.
Yeah, I mean, the question remains, why did they do this? And what happened to the people that are unaccounted for? And the truth is, we don't know if we will ever find out the truth. There is a world where John and Carrie perhaps buried some of the bodies in an undisclosed location. There's just so many unanswered questions that I sadly think we will never know the answer to.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, Mama Heather DeWolf, she really broke my heart because she says,
I have nightmares
and I can hear his voice calling my name, and I can't find him. I can't find my son because I don't know what they did with him. And I have a right to know. I trusted them. I trusted them to be the people who were responsible for my son's physical presence for his last moments on this earth. We all trusted them.
And the fact of the matter is that so many of these families will have to make peace or try to make peace with the fact that they will never know what actually happened to their deceased loved one. It's heartbreaking.
And Mama Christina says that she can't even think about her son, even in the good times and the happy times, without thinking about what his afterlife was like and how his dignity was stripped of him. And she also goes on to say that through this process, she has grieved with the other victims of this. They sort of have a friend circle, which I think is beautiful, that they all have experienced something so hopefully very rare and such a tragedy, and only they can understand. I think it's beautiful. And that's where the episode ends, and we're left with on-screen text that says, November 22nd, 2024, John and Carrie Halford pled guilty to 191 counts of abuse of a corpse. They both face up to 20 years in prison. And then on the next card, it says, in response to the return to nature disaster, the state of Colorado has passed legislation requiring funeral directors and embalmers to be licensed. Yeah, the biggest example of too little, too late.
Yeah. There's a couple updates. I struggled to find information on what was happening, and you did better than me. I even gave local news reporter Tyler a call to try to get in touch with him and ask him for some updates.
Did he call you back?
Not yet.
Did you send your nudes?
No, because if he does a quick Google search, he will find them. So that doesn't hold much leverage.
That is not a directive, down bitches.
Are you kidding me? They're on my Instagram. So in March of 2025, Carrie changed her mind on the plea deal, and she said, I want to fight the wire fraud charges. Because I don't believe that that's real. And we had a discussion off mic where we speculated that maybe it's because wire fraud comes with a really high sentence, so maybe she's trying to shave some time off.
Well, yeah, I had to look into those charges because not that I think that they shouldn't spend the rest of their life behind bars, but I was like, why is that the thing you're fighting? So I looked into it, and that charge actually comes from a completely different incident because they co-conspired to defraud the U.S. Small Business Administration during the pandemic, and they received over $800,000 of pandemic relief funds that were inappropriately allocated. So that's what the wire fraud charges were for. I have no idea why she is withdrawing her plea for that. Maybe she was like, John did that. I didn't know anything about it, but she's fighting that.
Yeah, because as far as we know, John has not changed his mind about his plea deal. In fact, he is set to be sentenced either in June or August of this
June
year.
June 27th.
Yeah, but however, Carrie was supposed to go to trial in April, but from the little information I got, that trial has been postponed.
Till September 5th.
Got it.
She will have her pretrial hearing on the 5th, and then the jury trial is set to begin on September 8th. So a couple of other little bits I found. Number one, I don't know why they didn't think this wasn't shady, but they had put foil on all of the windows of that building so that no one could see in. Wouldn't people think that was suspicious?
I wonder if people weren't just looking that closely. I don't know. I don't think that somebody walking by a funeral home is suspecting that the inside is as horrific as it was. Who knows?
I guess you're right. Yeah. So something that I found in the FBI file was during the evidentiary hearing, a bunch of text messages came through, and some of them go all the way back to 2020. And this one says, quote, my one and only focus is keeping us out of jail. And then another text message in 2020, he messaged Carrie and said they needed to begin restoring the building in Penrose. And then he suggested ways to do that. And this is what it says. This is a direct quote. A, build a new machine, ASAP. I don't know what machine he's talking about. B, dig a big hole and use lye. But where? C, dig a small hole and build a large fire. But where? D, I go to prison, which is probably what's going to happen. And this one on August 12th, 2023 says, I'd like to get all of the bodies out before Claire comes and visits here. Later that day, you all hold on to your Grand Tetons. He texted Carrie, I want to take a shower as soon as I get back because while I was making the transfer, I got people juice on me.
Disgusting.
Ugh. Want the double cheeseburger, lettuce, wrapped with everything, minus tomatoes, please.
I mean, I'm saying disgusting at referring to it as people juice. You are a sick individual.
But also, yes, the idea that his brain is equating and putting the same amount of emphasis on saying something like people juice to his fucking Five Guys order.
Yeah.
He puts it on par.
Yeah.
So you're right. They're not treating it like this is real. You are talking about the decomposition fluids of a human and putting your takeout order in the same breath.
Yeah. They're terrible people.
It is just absolutely unbelievable. I also have some information as to that bail. In one trial, his bail was set for $2 million. And then the judge was like, all right, I'll make it $100,000. Why? Why'd you make it $100,000? No. Go with your first instinct. Always go with your first instinct.
That is bizarre.
All this to say that a lot of people online had weighed in on the death care industry. You know how we were talking about how it's like a generational job?
Yeah.
Well, a lot of the older people in that generation, like their younger kids, like aren't interested. They're like, nah, I want to go be on TikTok. And so the sort of reputation and the care and the concern of funeral homes has dramatically decreased. And a lot of people in the death care industry all agree that it is just long overdue for some more federal oversight.
Yeah.
There's just not a lot of laws concerning how we treat the deceased.
Yeah.
And it is a lucrative market. I looked this up. In 2023, the U.S. death care market was valued at $24.19 billion.
Jesus.
There is a lot of care put into how we take care of our deceased loved ones. And there are so many opportunities for vile people to do horrible things like this. I hope they throw the book at these people. I hope they eat bologna for the rest of their life. They slip on wet floors in prison and their pillows don't have pillowcases. You are heinous. You are deplorable and disgusting. My heart breaks for all 200 of those families.
Same.
Say something funny.
Well, listen, I might not be able to afford a hot tub. And you may have your judgment on it. You can't judge me. I've seen your car. But as a substitute for not having a hot tub, I will be taking me a lukewarm bath today because my hot water heater is small and it doesn't stay warm too long. And I'm going to pour me a nice tall glass of Boone's Farm. And I'm going to listen to some Celine Dion and pretend that I'm in a hot tub in Fiji. Cue the music, Rick.
I'll be waiting for you.
Just totally changed the lyrics and made up a melody. Anyway,
all right, down bitches, I really do like this show. They do an incredible job of research and check it out. Also, don't forget, our Apple subscriptions will be up and running. So if that interests you, take advantage. Also, don't forget, Thursday nights, Hallelujah, What's It To Ya? On Discord, we watch Traitors. If you are looking for a good time and a lot of silliness in the chat, come join us and check out the Patreon as well.
Yeah, if you're already on the Patreon, no need for Apple subscriptions, but it's an option to people who aren't on Patreon. Now, if you do want some bonus content, like we said, you can try Apple subscriptions, or you can go to patreon.com/ithinknot, where for as little as $5 a month, you get 4 bonus episodes, but we have all kinds of community events and just ways that you can listen to us flap our gums some more.
I'm sure you all want more gum flapping this summer. Until next time, I love you, Joey.
I love you, Taylor Marie Martian. I love you, DB, so much.
I love you down, bitches. Bye.
Bye. Myself.
I said that.
Oh, you did. Oh, sorry. I was busy listening to my own words in my head.
Yeah, no, I know, honey. I'm a woman and you're a man. Why would my words matter? Carry on.
Well, we meet Emily Miller, founder of Colorado Burial Preserve... Burial... Wow. So we meet Emily Miller, founder of Colorado's Burial... Why can't I say burial? Burial?
Burial.
Burial. Thank you.
Okay, you're circling the airport, babe. Bring it in for a landing. What's your point?
Oh, can you just tell me that not those kinds of wasps? She's talking about wasps, the bugs.
Oh, got it. Fuck!
You really disappointed me. I really thought you were better than this. I really thought you would have caught on. Wow.
Okay. I didn't at all.
It's falling apart. Rick, if you can line this up, and I'm pretty sure I'm in the right... I know I'm in the right key. I have met porcupines. What?
Was there more to that?